Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
And we're going to talk about some basketball.
That's right. That's right. We got the Houston Rockets and we got Golden State.
Yeah, they play tonight. That'll be Wednesday. We're taping Wednesday, so, but.
Yeah.
They could easily be going to going to Golden State, right? They go to Golden State.
That's one game. Maybe Houston got the
home court advantage.
So there's two games. So then the battle has already started. When somebody else win on somebody else's court.
Oh yeah, you stole home court advantage. First game, man.
Man.
And then Draymond gets a technical foul in the first minute.
He was looking for that though.
Oh yeah, he punked my guy out, man. He went after old Harden.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's what he wanted to do.
He played crazy that game, man.
Yeah, that's his whole objective. He don't score no points. He's in Dennis Rodman mode.
Yeah, Draymond Green. That's what it is, man.
And everybody said, I don't like him as a player. He's not thinking about what you like now.
No.
He like, I can get a ring, another one.
He's doing what he's getting paid to do.
That's right.
And that's to intimidate the other team's star player.
That's it.
Okay, I mean, the same thing happened with him and LeBron, right?
That's right.
Yeah, but it was King James, so they went ahead and gave him a technical and threw him out the game.
And LeBron ended up winning that championship, so now he know he can't do that with LeBron.
Right.
So it's getting kind of a little sticky, y'all.
Yeah, tonight going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is.
We'll know going into the weekend what it's looking like, because Cleveland going home down 2-0.
Man.
You know?
But it's going the other way for Cleveland. That's good.
Right.
Because see, what I know Michael Jordan said this. He say the series don't start till they beat you at the crib.
Right.
So now the series has started. Houston lost to the perennial champions.
Yep.
To the bomb squad. They got to bring out all the forces because they got to go back to GS. They got to go back to Golden State. So they go back to Golden State. Down 0-2, it's a night.
Oh, it's going to be ugly. They're going to bring out the brooms, man.
Get your pillowcase because this is over. But so for LeBron and them, they like, okay, y'all done beat us at y'all gym.
Yeah.
And then y'all don't have a shooter's gym in Boston. So let's take us back to our gym.
Yeah, go back to the queue.
Yeah.
And, we get sleep in our own beds. All right. And the third game is going to be pivotal. You know, if they come out and win that game and win two at home, you're in a three-game series. And that makes it interesting. So, yeah,
yes,
it's going to be fun, man. And then the lottery came out last night for NBA. Phoenix got number one pick. They're going to find somebody to go with that Booker. Some kid out in Arizona is what they're looking at. I didn't get his name.
Yeah, Booker was a steal for them, too.
Yeah.
Another guy that could have been a Piston.
Yep.
Man.
So we're still looking for a coach, right?
Yeah, we are.
They named a coach.
Better just put Chauncey Billups in and put Mark Jackson as a coach so they can learn how to do the job the right way and build a program.
Yeah, it depends on how committed that organization is to giving a guy that long term. Like Boston told their coach that they got, Brad Stevens, when he came in from Butler. You know, they gave the guy a 5-year deal, man. Said, hey, you don't have to look for a job. You don't have to worry about your job.
He in third years. Year right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
He doing a fantastic job without his best players.
Right. He's not going anywhere.
No, he's not.
He'll be at Boston as long as he wants to be there.
He's like a Red Auerbach type of reflection type of guy. So
he
going down in history.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they say that LeBron got our guy fired up in Toronto.
Yeah, he did. But then look, for Brad Stevenson, here you go. Brad Stevenson has made it where Kyrie Irving don't got a team no more.
No.
It's a coach's team.
It is.
Your game is expandable. You about to be Tiny Archibald for me now.
Mm-hmm.
You was a scorer when you came, but you about to learn how to pass this ball and average about 14, 15 points.
Yes, that's what's going to happen.
You're not going to be getting no 30, 10, and 10.
Well, you know, they went over his career this morning, and he has never played a full career as long as he's been in the game. A full season. He has been hurt. Almost 50% of the time, and that was one of the deals that he had told Cleveland. They didn't trade him. He was going to go ahead and have that surgery. He wound up having it anyway.
Anyway, he had it anyway on Boston. So
yeah.
Boston looking like, hold up.
Man.
Brother, you bad goods. We can get Kyrie. We can get the Leonard boy from Spurs. Paul George in for you.
He might be trade bait now.
I think he trade bait because the way Rozier running that point, he got a release like Michael Jordan too.
Yeah, he do.
He shoot like MJ. I noticed that. I'm like, who been trading him? And he got so much heart.
Probably done watched all his film, man.
Yeah, he got a lot of heart, man.
Yeah.
That guy's real tough.
So it's not like the corner. You know, Kyrie's not the cornerstone of that basketball team.
Nope. I put Rozier in over him. I'm like, Rozier cheaper. He young. He know how to run that pick and roll system for him. He know how to find the shooters. He look for Al Horford on the block. He not worried about his name.
Right.
And he'll scrap with you. He'll throw some blows.
So, yeah, when he come back next year, it's going to be interesting.
You going to tell my man Rozier to sit down?
I don't think so.
But now Rozier is a nice trade break to bring Kawhi Leonard in,
very
too.
True. Mm-hmm.
He can go somewhere and be a nice player for somebody.
Yeah.
Tony Parker can groom him out of San Antonio.
But he's young enough. I think if they had to make a choice, though, especially because of Kyrie's injury.
I'm keeping Rozier.
I'm keeping him, man.
Because, look, I'm looking at right now, Tony, I'm looking at the camaraderie that Rozier has around him.
Mm-hmm.
He done stole the show with, like, these my bros. I could do this. Yeah, y'all ride with me.
Extremely well together, man. Extremely well. And you can see it, man, when they hit the flow. And
he leading them.
Yeah.
He the point guard.
I don't think Cleveland got an answer for it. I'll be surprised now. I'm definitely a Cleveland fan.
Me too.
But it don't look good.
It don't look good at all. It looks scary. No,
it don't look good. So game three, Saturday night in Cleveland, is going to be pivotal. It's going to be critical. So, yeah. And we've got some other breaking news to talk about that we've also covered in past shows, and it's the Board of Education.
Oh, yes.
The budget cuts.
We had those budget cuts.
Yeah.
So what was first presented, I saw some of those, and I know we had such a situation where we had to do some cutting.
Right. 175 students that caused that predicted to be lost. That's a lot of students. And we talked about that, again, in previous shows, is that certain students that will come from other districts,
yes, sir,
to take classes that are not offered were given those head counts. And that is no longer in existence. So we lost that money, which was like $1.3 million.
Yeah, and then we had that situation with the MCEC, with the kids that left. That went to other school districts, but they didn't complete no programming.
Right.
And they said in the class, we ain't get no dollars for them. That was $3 million. So we got shafted on some of that stuff, man. That's not fair to us.
No, but, you know, that's part of that Snyder's administration, how they run it. Then you look at what happens on the federal level. And, you know, public schools are under attack. Superintendents are under attack. And I think it's just being – you know, done in a way where it makes the public school systems look bad. And the breakdown on these proposed cuts is one human resource director by attrition, which says that person is going to retire and they're not going to fill that position. They'll give it to someone else. $150,000.
That's going to be gone. So whoever retired in that spot is going to open $150,000.
Right. You got one central office administrator who handles the federal state programs. That's a $45,000 a year savings. One central office administrator for another $150,000 in savings. Three youth safety advocates for $81,000. So it doesn't sound like they pay those guys very much money if you divide 81 by three. Compared to some of those other salaries that we talked about, one dean of students for a savings of $13,000. Okay. They're going to demote that person to a youth safety advocate. So they're getting rid of, they're going to take three out, but they're going to replace one of the three with a dean of students. And I don't think that's going to go over very well, whoever that person is that they pick. That's a pretty hefty pay cut. When you look at what
$13,000, a lot. Because so then my thing, here's the question. Like, my thing is, will that person still have the same duties?
No, because they're saying the dean of students is being demoted to a youth safety advocate.
Okay.
One clerk for $28,000.
Secretary, right?
Yep. Four high school teachers for $340,000. So that's a considerable amount. One occupational therapist, physical therapist, for $116,000. Two middle school teachers for $146,000. and two tutors for a savings of $31,000. And then there's one line item that says three mini contracts for savings of $28,000. So that means that there's certain programs that they use contractors for.
That's right.
That they're not going to use anymore. And then you have the cuts for the administrators. 7% cut for Jennings.
Yeah, I saw that. That was – he made less than Velsky.
Well, according to – yeah, they made – now, they're saying here
– Velsky made like 224, didn't he?
I knew it was up there.
So then he just took up his own pay cut?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a part of the deal.
Okay.
And then those folks that got those raises back last year, those are gone too.
They
took those back.
They resented those.
Yep. So all those people basically got 3% pay cuts. And those are all key administrators. So that's kind of in a nutshell as to what they're proposing. It has not been adopted yet. But I'm pretty sure that's going to fly because it kind of gets them where they need to be, that $1.6 million. Just hopefully that school year starts and that $175 is not as high as that. And over a period of time, maybe these, you know, some of these folks can get called back to work.
Yeah.
But a lot of those, when you see that the jobs of the teachers and what have you, a lot of those people were probably at age of retirement anyway.
Yeah, they were. A lot of people are retiring.
Not pink slipped.
Yeah, a lot of people are retiring in the last couple of years. Nationwide, and it's like the teaching profession is basically losing teachers.
Oh yeah, we talked about that early in our show.
Yeah,
where Michigan State used to be one of the premier schools for teachers.
Now they trying to figure out how to recruit them. It's still one of the best, but there's like the enrollment of the College of Ed is saying that.
Oh, where definitely they decline. It's a decline, man.
It's not the job fairs. I was talking with my friend, a recruiter, and it was like the job fairs are not even packing the teachers out no more. I remember when it was in 99 or 2000? No, 2000, 2001 when I first started looking for a job after my internship. And I remember going to the job fair. Man, it looked like a concert. Like a
standing room
concert.
Only.
Yeah, and everybody was there.
Wall to
but
wall.
Then everybody was getting jobs.
Right.
I mean, I remember walking into Detroit with I got like a $15,000 pay raise. They paid me as a fifth-year teacher.
Oh, okay.
Then I walked in and I did as a coach. So it helped me move right into that economy. At the time, I think I was like 50 grand. Fresh out of college.
Not bad money.
Supposed to be like $36,000. It was $50,000 straight out of college. I remember that.
Okay, then.
It was yesterday. I was like, that's straight.
Yeah.
Before inflation hit, though, too, then when inflation hit and George Bush got in.
Yeah.
And killed the
And then all the other issues that came up with.
No knock against George Bush, but he killed the game for the city of Detroit. Yeah. I remember that.
Oh, they took a beating.
Man, we took a beat down with George Bush playing.
The administrators took some hard hits over there in Detroit, man.
Man, they did. We shut a lot of schools down.
I
remember that.
A lot of schools. And, you know, we watched what happened in Grand Rapids.
That's right. It's not even that many public schools in Grand Rapids no more.
No, they're all charters, man. Two high schools.
You got Union and you got who else?
Ottawa Hills.
Yep, that's it.
That's it. And they say they only use half of the building at Ottawa Hills.
Man, that's crazy.
For a high school now. In a city, the second largest city in the state of Michigan is Grand Rapids.
So here's a paradigm shift. You went from public education to privatized education. So now the vouchers and all this and all that with the kids, what happens to the old community now? I see Grand Rapids building up downtown looking immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of people have migrated to Kentwood.
The suburban schools.
Yeah, suburban schools, public schools.
Kentwood is one of the largest high schools.
These Kentwood are doing a good job.
In the state of Michigan.
They're doing a good job academically and athletically. Track, basketball, football. They're doing a great job.
Yeah.
But then they must have to have some plan devised to shift this population. Because I remember going to Rapids, it was always go downtown. You got the south side. You got it over the bridge. You can go Franklin. You can go here. You're going to see your people.
Right.
You're going to see a certain demographic that look like you.
Oh, yeah.
And probably in the same income bracket. So that's what we did. When we went down, we hang out with the people from Grand Rapids Central, Grand Rapids Junior. I know Justin's from that area.
Yeah, Creston. We had
the Rams. You know, being around that area, you seen like, we're going to hang out here, all that, you know. And this is the radio station talk about it. But just looking at it, that's gone now in downtown Grand Rapids.
It's gone.
It's gone. Now it's straight up commercialized.
Yeah, and when you if you go down on a Friday evening and you walk around downtown in the city of Grand Rapids, you will see the dynamic shift in the demographics, okay? And that's what they want. The millennials are coming back with. They don't have kids. A lot of them haven't even started. And if they do, they're probably going to private parochial schools anyway.
Yeah.
They're not sending them to public schools. So, like you say, that community togetherness as far as where you send your kids is gone.
Gone.
Yeah, because so kids gone. From all over the city go to Union, okay? And they say that was, talking to some of the coaches, say that was a real problem when they tried to fill basketball teams, football teams, because kids would have to catch the bus because they live so far from the school.
Then you got the gang. Then you got the gang element too, because I'm coming from the other side of the city, and now you got to teach me how to get along with somebody I don't know, and then I got to win a game.
Right. Yeah. I'm standing at the bus stop, especially in the fall, right, when it gets dark early, and you always, you know, it's those fear factors that's coming into play, man. So they got some tough situations, but you look in the suburbs, all Class A schools, Granville, Jenison, big high schools, man. Holland was Ottawa. They've definitely migrated from the inner city.
And that's how it is. But then look what works out best. I got the new law that just passed. I know you probably seen it too for the athletics. They're saying,
oh, yeah,
you can miss up a whole year now.
Oh, yeah.
So those parochial schools, private schools, that's a punch at them. Like, okay, I'm going to transfer to this private school. Well, you're going to sit out a whole year now.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's not from a residential.
Yeah, so you still got a zip
there's
code.
There's still criteria that you can move and still play.
But then if you try to come and then you can't sit out a half semester because your mama done bought a house in a different school district, you got to sit out a whole academic year. You so you got to move. Year. You got to do a physical move.
Physical now. Move. So whole family. It's not even about, you know, they used to play the divorce game or the separation game and say, well, my parents separated and my dad lived in this district and I stay with my dad now. Now you got to have a document of divorce. Okay, to show that they are divorced and he has sole custody of you and you end up in that district so you can play.
So he can't get mad and be like, I got a child support, you come with me.
Right.
And then that's and then the baby daddy, baby mama syndrome.
Unless you divorced.
None of that.
No, separation don't work.
I got the kids now. You got the kids. So baby mama and all that can't work. Nope. Like, never been married. I'm going to take the kids one weekend. And then now I'm going to say I'm going to use this as a staple to get my kid in another school. You can't do that.
Can't do it.
Okay, so hey, they're not playing. They learning the culture of the game, or that the people that play don't do it right.
Right, and most of it is on the east side. I mean, we have it sporadically, but not like they have it over there, man.
They get it in.
Kids be just moving from school to school. That's what drove that.
Small cases, we ask. Very rare small cases, because I say one sense on this area, kids are real community driven.
Really?
I mean, Hikes was rocked years ago. I worked in the Hikes back in 2008, 2009, 2010, and 2011. Hikes was rocked when the administration came in and they changed that paradigm with going from a public to a private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying they're somewhat public. Now, that rocked that community because it shook it up by closing those schools and shifting the leadership and everything. But I'm going to say this. Somebody said this to me the other day that's from another city that had the same demographics as an urban core as ours. They said Muskegon Heights is one of the few cities that still have a city government. And that's something that they have to learn to build from to build their culture back. Well, it won't affect no other school districts.
Right.
Use that city government to be your staple to create your power again. I'm not on here talking about politics. We're talking about finances. But we talk about
finances, though.
It is finances. When you look at the budget, and then when you look at kids that want to come to our school district, Muskegon, they're like, no, I don't have to come because the city government has been in place, and I can thrive, Muskegon can thrive, all these schools can thrive like we did years ago.
Right.
We don't have that issue where kids would be transient because they worried about either sports or academics. They're like, well, I'm staying here because this is my foundation, and it's in place.
Yeah, because the Saginaws and the Flints went through that when the cities went into – you know, receivership, state basically sent in
emergency
managers.
That's the name of the people.
Yeah. And that basically takes away the ability for the school system to really operate with the city government.
Yes,
and
sir.
And I think that's the point that he was trying to make. So, yeah, it is very important that the Hikes maintain that status.
So, that's that budget, the budget cuts in Muskegon, our superintendent. took action and said he was going to be as transparent as he could.
And I think
he's been on the radio show a couple times. He's been on.
We'll have him back again.
Yeah, he laid it out. He said, this is not a job. It's a stepping stone. That's what he told me. And I'm seeing that. He like, look, I'll take an L. Mm-hmm. I'll take an L in my pocketbook. So that you know right there. So he took an L. He made some administrators take some L's. He cut some positions. And we're not looking to cut people's lives. You know, I understand change is evident. Even if, you know, it just happens. It happens to all kind of walks of people. It's happened to me in the past. So I understand it's a business.
Yeah, and if you don't treat it as a business, you'll have the same thing happen like it happened to the Hikes. You'll have emergency manager come in and start running the school district.
Because all emergency manager means is that I gave you some money and you don't know how to balance your budget.
Right.
So let me come in and show you.
I'm going to send somebody over to government. The governor appoints somebody to be the emergency manager.
And all they do is take the checks and
cut,
everything.
Cut,
and
cut.
They cut. They cut everything. Cut. This won't happen. You don't need these sports. You don't need this. You don't need that.
They don't have a vested interest.
They don't care.
No.
It's as long as my job is done, if it say balance.
Right. Politically, I did the right thing.
And my boss going to give me a pat on the back, and I'm going to get a raise. And you guys going to pay my salary out of your budget.
And that's what happens.
That's what happens. So, and emergency managers, they make more than the superintendent.
Oh, yeah.
They make $250,000.
Yeah.
They
do the dirty work, hatchet man, and then they leave town.
Yep, so we don't want that to happen again. That happened in the other school districts. We don't want that to happen no more. No. So
it's a tough decision, but it's the kind of decision that has to be made if you want to stay solvent and the doors open.
Yeah. So we still on the path of helping the women out.
Yeah.
We at money at your every age. We at the 50s now. We did the 40s. Now we at the 50s.
50s.
50s. First one says
Cougars.
Yeah, oh, Cougars. Oh, they coming to get you. Hey. We ain't talk. I ain't get to talk. Oh, Lord. Help me. Determine what you'll need to retire comfortably and how to get there. So it says women in their 50s and 60s are most likely to say they never talk to anyone about financial advice.
I believe that. Hmm. Not really. Yeah.
So it says, talk to financial advisors to define your number and to make sure your investments are on the right glide path to get there. And you're like, what's a glide path? That's like that. You talk about that sliding number. And I was talking about what you had told me a couple weeks ago about maximizing my retirement. I was giving some advice to someone. And he was laid off from work. Mm. Now, he wasn't laid off, but he was off hurt. And he getting his full paycheck still.
Okay.
Right? He's been off for some time. So they haven't gave him disability.
Hurt on the job then.
Yeah. So they paying him. They paying him his check before they figure out how to sever and really give him a lump sum. And he was like, Chauncey, he's like, I want to buy CDs. I'm not going to mention the person's name. I was like, no, bro, don't buy CDs. Max out your retirement.
Right.
I say, that's the list.
Oh, yeah, IRA.
Yeah.
I say, not CDs.
Yeah, I say, put the most money in your retirement right now. And then he had the one you said where they max the money.
Oh, right. If you get a 5%, 6% match, but you got to be at a certain level of that's commitment. Right.
I think he is.
And it's free money.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I say, check out where you're at in your level of commitment and put that there. And he's in his 50s.
Okay.
Even though he's not a female, I was like, he's like, man, that make a lot of sense. He's like, I get a CD. And say that way, you got to make several decisions before you go get that money.
Yeah, and if it gets locked up, you got to remember they pay penalties when you try to get that money out of those CDs. Yeah. So CDs is not a good instrument for investing, not when there's so many others out here that you can take advantage of.
Yeah, because I know I'm going to try it. Like you said, I'm going to max it out.
Yeah.
Try it, see if I can live, what we can live off of. And then if the business income and everything else, leveling that out, I'm going to act like that don't even exist. And then just keep on trying to get that magical number where I think it's 18.5 for me as an educator. That's
right.
Your buddy Donald Trump passed that to where it can go higher, I think, next year.
Okay, so then. Yeah.
The whole point is figure out how that is and what is it really before, because it's pre-tax dollars for me. So we figure that out.
And I don't think it should be a max, personally. Yeah, I think you should be able to put away as much money as you can afford.
Put the whole thing. If you bless somebody, blessed with like a trust or like they win a lottery or something, and they say they got this job, if you can put your whole check in there.
Right.
That'd be a blessing.
Yeah. People want to help out the working man.
Yeah. So next it says, plan now for life care needs later on. That's that hospice situation. It says 50 to 65-year-olds are most likely to save for medical care later in life. So you got to have, like you say, retirement, but a lot of people don't think about
the cost of health care.
Yeah.
as you get older, when you get to be 65, and you know you get on Medicare, you still have to supplement that. You know, that's what that Medicare Part A, Part B, Part C, because it's not 100% paid. So you know you have to pay premiums every month, and then there's co-pays and deductibles. So yeah, there is definitely additional expenses when you get older if you get sick.
Audience, it's called the economy of staying alive. That's okay. What I'm figuring out. I'm 40, yeah. And I'm like, it's really economic to this living. And I was with one of my relatives, my nephew. We did a beach workout Saturday, and he's like, I want some protein. So some of the girl players come with us too. So we out there. We go out, and I said, yeah, let's go to the health store. He said, you always go to the health hut to get your fast food. I said, yeah. Say, why you always go here to get sandwiches and stuff? I said, because I can get soups and things like that. He said, it's expensive. I said, all right.
Oh, yeah.
I said, no, it's not expensive. That's what I told him. Then we went to the health store to get his protein. I spent like $100 in there for vitamins and stuff that me and my wife get.
Okay.
Like, you know, she like hair, skin, and nails and little stuff like that. And, you know, I buy the super greens, you know, for my fruits and vegetables in the can, you know, where I can take a scoop and drink. Mm-hmm. And just other stuff. They say, oh, you spent $100. I said, and there was a teacher in front of me. She was from Grand Rapids. And she was like, young man. See, your uncle look like he in shape. He said he spent $100 in here. So you don't have to go to the doctor's office and have some pills or a prescription that costs $300 or $400.
That's right.
So yeah. you gotta figure out what your medium is. Like when you said, when you financing or when you budgeting in your 40s and 50s for your health, it's a serious issue.
Yeah, you're right. They did a story the other day. LeBron James spends $1 million a year on his body.
Yes, yeah, so he spent $100. That's probably like $100 a month. Yeah. I spent $1,000
a million.
But I'm spending $1,000 probably healthcare membership too, probably about $2,500 a year for myself and me and my wife. So when you look at that number, and LeBron spending $1 million, look at his income.
Right. Yeah, and look at his body.
Damn. I got to spend $1 million then.
And how old is he?
33. He's doing pretty good. He had 40 the other night. They said he got tired.
Yeah.
Man, that's some basketball shape. It's the hardest shape to be in.
It is. Yes, it is. It's different than football or any other sport, man. Basketball can be a constant grind.
Yeah, it wear your body down.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. So it says buy long-term care insurance. Now, wait longer, and you may risk skyrocketing premiums, like you said, or ineligibility because you might be too sick.
Right.
Like, you're a diabetic. You don't get your foot cut off. I'm just being serious, audience.
Yeah, it's just you're just telling the truth, man.
I got to pay for that. I got to get these insulin shots. I didn't know I was going to have this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why you pay now.
Take care of your body now. Yep. So when you get older, you don't have those life-threatening illnesses.
You move through that. Now you got more money to go on vacations and cruises in your golden years.
Right.
You're like, why you always going to this place, that place? Hey, that's the whole point and objective.
Got that right.
The next one, it says, really go for it in your career. 61% of women in their 50s describe themselves as ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those women are, you find them as being administrators, CEOs, managers.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do many 50-something women have fewer commitments at home, but people are more likely to see mature women as leaders. And I just said that.
Yeah.
Yep. I learned a lot. I work in education. So I've had the opportunity to have some great women leaders, and I done had the opportunity to have some great, like, Sergeant Slaughter type of women leaders.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was on the right side, too. No, nonsense. But I've all learned. They all were sweet to me, and they taught me great things.
Okay.
And they also introduced me to other pathways of success with their form of leadership.
Cool.
So this is taking back on, because most of those women were in their 50s. I had some in their 40s. But just seeing those women, they were past those years that they were, what I was doing, in my 20s. They were my leader. They was like, no, do this. Or I know this man you need to be working with. Or I know this concept. You could do this. You'll be good at this.
Okay.
And I've took their advice as furthering my education or creating businesses or making myself a viable entity where I can be employable. I've had those women in their 50s share that with me.
Gotcha. So,
just kudos to them. But it also says, not only do many 50 women something have fewer commitments at home, but just that him that piece again. Home is different now. They don't got to cook, clean, do all those things.
Mm-mm.
That duty is shared equally at home. It's certain things I know how to do that my wife don't know how to do.
Right.
Like, she can cook, but I can throw. I throw down. You know, and she's like, how it tastes like that? Don't worry about it. I got this mashed potato. I'm going to tell the audience this. I got these mashed potatoes I make, right? I put coconut juice in them.
Mm.
And it tastes so good. But I get a real potato, and I blend it up. And if I want to make it fast, I grab the instant, and I mix it. But I put the coconut juice in it.
Wow.
The concentrate.
I've coconut never heard or pineapple. That before, man.
It's a hit of it, right? With a little garlic, and you had a chives and everything. Coconut juice.
All right, ladies.
All right.
You heard that?
So you're like, how you want to do that? I'm telling you. So that's a secret. My little chef secrets. I've been watching a lot of G Garvey back in the day.
Okay.
So, this is not a cooking show, but it's a finance show. But I just want to share that with you, that the home duties are shared differently in this time and age, and different. And women is not always at home. They got a chance to be in leadership roles because our society is shifting and changing. And that's great.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So it's our number, our magical number, Tony, it says retirement age goal by 60. So these women got like 10 years or less to retire. It says 8 times your annual salary. So that number increases. You're trying to retire. So you got to figure out, if you make $50,000, you got to be able to have $400,000.
Right. If you make $100,000, you got to have $800,000. Makes sense to me.
So that makes sense to me. I got scripture for today. It's not that long. It's two of them. It says Proverbs 22. Chapter 22, verse 1. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver and gold, like I just said with the women CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
I had all type of leaders. I had a relational leader. I had a leader that led the type A personality, type B, type C. But they all knew what the goal was. Chauncey, we got to move these numbers. We got to help these kids.
Great.
And it's always made me proficient as an educator. And I respected what they did. And I even applied some of their leadership abilities.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to. Yeah.
So when I'm on that court, I'm mean. Then when I'm in practice, I'm cool and it's funny. But it's always a form of leadership of somebody I done had, great examples of people that I've worked with.
The end result.
Yep. And the second one is Proverbs 17, verse 18. It's poor judgment to guarantee another person's debt or to put security up for a friend. That means don't co-sign for the debt. Don't co-sign
never,
for
the debt.
Never, ever. And this is in the Bible. Look, I'm going to read it one more time. It says Proverbs 17, chapter 17, verse 18. It's poor judgment to guarantee another person's debt.
I know that's right.
Or put up security for a friend. I'm telling you, you love them. They cool with you. They your Ace Boom Coon, your buddy from the crib. Show them. You better off giving them a couple dollars or showing them how to do it. Getting their credit on the right track. Then co-sign it. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
That's how I'm out of the book, Good for Nothing, Trust God with the Least. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.